This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Just a reminder of our points of contact. If you do need to reach out to the show, you can find us on social media at AMI Audio on Twitter. That's where you can answer our daily poll. You can also find us on Facebook by searching for Accessible Media Inc. 1-866-509-4545 is the phone number, and feedback at AMI.ca is how you send us an email. Earlier this week, Mary Simon was sworn in as Canada's 30th Governor General. Simon says she has been deeply touched by the responses of the people who've reached out to her following the announcement of her appointment.
I have heard from Canadians who describe a renewed sense of possibility for our country and hope that I can bring people together. I have heard from Canadians who have challenged me to bring a new and renewed purpose to the office of the Governor General.
The Governor General also touched on the importance of reconciliation.
My view is that reconciliation is a way of life and requires work every day. Reconciliation is getting to know one another.
Simon further elaborated on those thoughts of reconciliation.
As members of our large and diverse Canadian family, we have to replace the hurt with hope and find the grace and humility to stand together and move towards a more just and equitable future.
For his perspective on this and so much more in the world of Canadian politics, we're joined by veteran political correspondent Craig Oliver. Hey, good morning, Craig. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. I'm fine.
So, Craig, there are so many responsibilities for the Governor General, but they are able to undertake their own initiatives. So what do you expect from Governor General Mary Simon as she starts work in this prestigious post?
Dave, I think she may turn out to be one of the most consequential governors general in history. In this sense that here is a woman who bumped up against a moment of history and really came to epitomize it in herself. And I think that's what's so important here. It may be very difficult for her. There will be times when the federal government, and she's the pinnacle of it, will be very much at odds with a lot of First Nations. And she's going to have to live with that and balance that out. But I think she's ready to do it because of a lifetime of getting ready for the very job she's now got.
Yeah, I know there's definitely a lot of enthusiasm. A lot of people responded really well to the speech that she gave on Monday, and definitely there'll be a lot of opportunities there for her to blaze a trail all her own in that post. And we do see that governor generals do have some freedom to do some work of their own. We know David Johnston did a lot of campaigns around kindness, so they really can put their stamp on the post if they so desire.
Well, she can in a very, very physical way, in the sense that she's been preaching ever since she had an argument back in 1984 with Pierre Trudeau on national TV. Mm-hmm. She's been preaching equality for First Nations, and that is government policy now. And so in a sense, she and federal government policy have all come together. As I say, though, the difficulty will be that much of what she's saying and supporting will be policy some First Nations won't agree with. Mm-hmm. So you have to ask the question, to what degree will she be in the rooms with the government when they're making the decisions? That's never happened before with a governor general. Mm. In her case, I think it will.
Craig, let's jump from the governor general to the prime minister. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is urging vaccine hesitant Canadians to get one. He says the overwhelming majority of cases are in people who have not received their two shots.
Look, what we're seeing right now is that the overwhelming majority of cases in Canada are in people who haven't been fully vaccinated yet. In fact, only 0.5% of cases being recorded are in fully vaccinated people.
The Prime Minister elaborated on what the federal government will do to convince Canadians to get the jab.
And we're going to continue with ad campaigns. We're going to continue with provinces putting forward various incentive measures. We're looking at ensuring international vaccine credentials so people who are fully vaccinated can travel around the world. These are the things that people who are still hesitant are going to be missing out on.
The number of eligible unvaccinated Canadians is over 5 million people, according to data from the Canadian Press. A few weeks ago, the Prime Minister said he was going to leave proof of vaccine requirements to the provinces. Restrictions continue to ease, cases are trending up, and vaccine uptake is beginning to plateau. Understanding, Craig, there are some jurisdictional issues when it comes to health policy. Do you think the Prime Minister regrets the decision to be hands-off when it comes to proof of vaccination?
It doesn't matter whether he did or didn't. He's going to have to deal with it. Let's just get one thing clear, Dave. And that is that the government, individual Canadians, are going to have to know who has been vaccinated and who has not been vaccinated. The health of all of us depends on getting those decisions and getting them honestly and correctly. What governments are going to have to make a decision about, and they can't avoid it, although they're all trying at premiers and prime minister. And that is whether or not they should be mandating a vaccination. I think that's what it's going to have to come to. Otherwise, I mean, what are we having a debate about? Mm. We've got to mandate a vaccination. This federal government is going to at some point have to come to grips with that. But here in Ontario, they're already avoiding that. Kids will be back in school in the fall. And as of yesterday, that was the last day in which you were able to put your kid in school fully vaccinated. The Conservative government here in Ontario and other Conservatives and other governments elsewhere all are facing the same deadline, and they're all trying to avoid it, but they can't.
And Craig, this is a conversation that's not just limited to Canada. We've seen President Joe Biden muse about the possibility of forcing all federal workers in the United States to get a vaccine. We've seen the mayor of Los Angeles say that about city employees. The country of France and their federal parliament had to put forward proof of vaccination requirements and vaccine passports via controversial legislation. So this is a conversation that's taking place in a lot of jurisdictions. And the provinces are all taking, as you mentioned, a different approach when it comes to encouraging the vaccine. Most of them have certainly been trying to utilize the carrot more than the stick. But we did hear from BC Premier John Horgan, as well as BC Provincial Health Officer Dr. Bonnie Henry yesterday, using the word consequences when it came to talking about people who choose not to get vaccinated. Do you expect that we might start hearing more about sticks than carrots in the next few weeks?
I think we're going to hear a lot more sticks than carrots, Dave, because there is just no way of avoiding coercion when you're dealing with all of these things. And governments have to be doing it because, you know, if you're here's the sort of issue, if you like, if you need to show some kind of a vaccine passport to get into a football game or a basketball game, shouldn't you have to do the same in order to put your kids in school? I would think so. And that is what the debate is going to be fierce. And I think the biggest mistake, one of them, that Trudeau's made recently is having, I think, acted too soon to open our borders to the United States. Mm-hmm. Things are going terribly wrong in that country as far as vaccinations are concerned. Millions and millions of Americans, as many as 30%, are deeply, deeply, religiously almost opposed to vaccines. Politicians are afraid to take them on. And our politicians are the same. Trudeau, the premiers, because these people, they're against vaccinations, but they're not against voting, and they can do you a lot of damage.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that one, Craig. Craig, let's jump to another topic, maybe a little bit more positive news. Since announcing a federal daycare plan in the spring budget, the federal government already has some provinces and territories on board. BC, the Yukon, PEI, and Nova Scotia have all agreed to a funding framework. Craig, I suppose that I shouldn't be surprised that provinces are happily accepting federal money, but do you think these quick agreements signal an appetite for the federal daycare plan?
Of course there's an appetite for it, but remember, this isn't new. Paul Martin's government, I think it was 2005, they actually had a plan, and they got all of the provinces on board, but in that election they were defeated, And so the program died. So this isn't the first time a government has gone across the country signing up the provinces to a daycare program. And we'll have to see what the outcome will be on whether or not the federal government's Liberal government is reelected.
So, Craig, this is where we'll kind of wrap things up, and it's the last question. But, of course, people continue to speculate about that fall election. Do you think something like daycare could become a big-time wedge issue or a huge talking point on an election trail?
I think it will be the absolute key to their election campaign. It is very important to the national economy and to the economy of people's personal home economics, if you like. And it is, it covers a lot of bases for the Liberals, particularly working women, who in many cases are unable to go to work because they can't afford daycare and need daycare. This is a program nationally that Canada has needed for a long, long time. And I think this will get Liberals a lot of votes, or the NDP could also get a lot of votes because they've been promoting this idea for a long time, too.
Absolutely. Hey, Craig, it's always a pleasure catching up with you. Thank you for making time for us today, and we'll chat with you again next week.
Great to talk to you, Dave. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.